Right, good morning everybody. How are you today? Before we start, as usual, I'd just like to say that if you go to my homepage, stephenaskew.com, you can download the MP3 script, some listening questions, and sample answers for this talk and all of my talks. Also, if you have any topics you'd like me to talk about, put them in the comments section below here. Thank you. Well, a few weeks ago, I talked to you about coffee. I don't know if you remember, but I kind of like coffee. In fact, I had rather a large coffee this morning, so I might be a little bit jittery, a little bit shaky. So today, I thought I'd try and talk a little bit about Starbucks. Now, in the city I live in, there are approximately 15 Starbucks. This city has a population of about 1.9 million people, so 15 Starbucks is probably not that high. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the background of Starbucks. Where did Starbucks start? Well, of course, Starbucks comes from America, a city called Seattle, Washington, and it opened on March the 31st, 1971, a few years before I was born. And in the beginning, it was located on 2000 Western Avenue, but in 1976, it moved to 1912 Pike Place, and it's still there. If you go to 1912 Pike Place in Seattle, you can actually have a coffee in the original Starbucks. However, most tourists who go to Seattle try and do the same thing. So if you do go there to have a coffee, prepare to wait for a while. There's going to be quite a long line. Now, who started Starbucks? Well, it was started by three people who met at the University of San Francisco. There was an English teacher called Jerry Baldwin. I'm an English teacher. Maybe I'm going to start a chain like Starbucks in the future. Who knows? There was a history teacher called Zev Siegel, and there was a writer called Gordon Bowker. Now, the three of these people were very interested in coffee. In fact, a friend of theirs, somebody called Alfred Peet, actually taught them how to roast and prepare coffee. If you watch my coffee presentation, you'll know that different ways of roasting produce different flavors from the coffee bean. Now, these three friends, they got together and they thought, let's start a coffee shop. In the beginning, they didn't sell drinkable coffee, they just sell the roasted coffee beans. They would buy green beans, they would roast them, and sell those beans. Now, how did they come up with the name Starbucks? Well, obviously, Starbucks is the chief mate from the story Moby Dick by Herman Melville. I don't know if you've read it. If you haven't, you should try. It might take you a long time, but it is a good read. A friend of one of these people worked in the advertising industry, and that friend said names beginning with ST, ST, were actually very powerful names. So the friend sat down to brainstorm a list of ideas of names beginning with ST. And while they were doing it, one of them looked at a map, don't know why, and they saw a town, a mining town, called Starbo Town. And one of them thought, Starbo, 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 Starbuck. And from there, Starbuck, Starbucks, the name was born. And now, of course, Starbucks is one of the most well-known names in the world. Although I don't know how many people actually know that Starbucks came from Moby Dick. There is no connection to the Moby Dick story itself, just the name. Now, in 1984, these three friends, they bought Alfred Peet's coffee shop, his coffee-selling business, and they turned that into the second Starbucks. So by 1984, there are two Starbucks, both of them in Seattle, and their friends have started to sell drinkable coffee. In the 1980s, the coffee trend is starting to pick up. Coffee shops are starting to become more fashionable. So their business is slowly increasing. Now, 1987 brings the next big change. One of their managers, an ex-manager, was a guy called Howard Schultz. Now, he also owned his own chain of coffee shops, and he said to the three friends, I will buy the business from you. And he paid them $3.8 million for the business. Of course, if the three friends had known what Starbucks was going to become, they might not have sold, or maybe they would have held out for a slightly higher price. But anyway, nobody knew. Hindsight is 20/20, of course. So they sold the business for $3.8 million. What are those three people doing now? Well, Jerry Baldwin is the chairman of a specialty coffee association in America. He's also a winemaker. He owns his own vineyard. Zev Siegel, he still works in the coffee business. He roasts and sells coffee. He also has some pie shops. They sell things like apple pie, cherry pie. And Gordon Bauke, he's moved into beer. He has an ale brewery he makes and sells beer. So the three people are still working. Of course, they have kind of disappeared from the public consciousness. Now, Howard Schultz, once he bought the business, he started to expand. First of all, he turned his chain of shops, his chain of coffee shops were called Irigyore. He turned those coffee shops into Starbucks. So instantly, once he'd bought the chain, he managed to turn his 44 shops into Starbucks. So he began to expand aggressively. He saw this expanding coffee market and he realized he had to act straight away. So let's have a quick look at the Starbucks expansion. In 1971, of course, when the chain started, there was one shop. By 1984, they had two. Remember, they bought Pete's Coffee Shop and they made two. Howard Schultz buys it. 1986, there are six. 1989, there are 46 Starbucks coffee shops. He's combined them with his own chain. Now he continues expanding. 1992, 140 shops. Now he starts to spread outside of Seattle. He moves up into Canada and other areas in America. 1996, the first coffee shop, the first Starbucks coffee shop outside America opens. It actually opens in Japan, Tokyo. 1998, there are 2,000 shops. 2001, there are 4,000 shops. 2004, there are 8,000 shops. The number of shops has started to increase exponentially. 2007, there are 16,000 coffee shops. Right now, 2017, do you know how many Starbucks coffee shops there are around the world? There are 31,366. So the number of coffee shops is increasing. But of course, it cannot increase ad infinitum. At some point, it must stop. And recently, Starbucks has actually had to close a few coffee shops because of the global financial problems and things like that. And Starbucks now, because they've reached almost a saturation point, they're having to rebrand themselves. So Starbucks are moving away from just coffee and they're rebranding themselves as boutiques. They sell, some of them sell wine and beers and they sell other things. They sell merchandise. So they're not just coffee shops anymore. So there are almost 32,000 Starbucks right now. Starbucks can be found almost everywhere in almost every country. Sometimes, a little controversially. For example, there is a Starbucks in the Forbidden City in Beijing. If you know the Forbidden City, it's the Emperor's Palace. I mean, it's called the Forbidden City because regular people were not allowed to go in there. Of course, since the 1912 revolution, there hasn't been an emperor. Now it's open to the public. But it's a cultural asset. It's a UNESCO heritage site. So Starbucks put a coffee shop in the Forbidden City. And a lot of people were very angry about that. Although, of course, Starbucks had to get permission from the Chinese government. They had to get permission from the people that control the Forbidden City. So they didn't do anything they weren't allowed to do. So people shouldn't necessarily get angry at Starbucks. They should get angry at the people that gave Starbucks permission to do that. But anyway, if you go to the Forbidden City, you can actually sit in a small area of the temple and drink a coffee, which is a little bit strange. So because of this, people say that Starbucks is the face of globalization. Starbucks is globalization. There's a great clip from The Simpsons. Bart Simpson goes into a shopping mall and almost every shop is a Starbucks. The one shop that is not a Starbucks closes down, and when he comes back, it's now a Starbucks. If I can find it, I'll play that clip now.
Can I help you?
I'd like to get my ear pierced.
Well, better make it quick, kiddo. In 5 minutes, this place is becoming a Starbucks.
Okay, did you enjoy it? It's pretty good, isn't it? So, Starbucks may be the face of globalization. Globalization is a process that is continuing and is something that we cannot stop. But is globalization entirely bad? I mean, you can't really talk about Starbucks without thinking about this. I mean, what are some of the bad points of globalization? Globalization destroys culture, dilutes cultures because people mix. rich people get richer, poor people get poorer is one argument. Jobs go overseas. Donald Trump says he's going to make America great again by bringing all the jobs back to America. But of course, that's not going to happen because due to globalization, these jobs have moved to places where they're cheaper. And also automation. But that's another talk for another day. So there are bad points, there are negatives associated with globalization, of course, but there are also some positives. We have an integrated economy. People that grow things in Ethiopia, for example, can now sell them in any country around the world. And vice versa, people that grow things in England can now sell them in any country around the world. So we have an integrated economy. Globalization provides jobs. I mean, Starbucks going around the world, people have to work in their Starbuckses. If jobs are moving away from America, they are moving somewhere. So jobs are being created. And we have almost a kind of global balance, a global balancing of the scales, if you want. Jobs are moving from rich countries to poor countries and bringing the wealth levels closer together. We have more understanding of cultures. I mean, you can travel to more countries, you can see and visit and experience more people and cultures than ever before in any point of our history thus far. So we are much more understanding of other peoples. There is more trading, as I've already talked about. You can trade with almost any country. And it's part of the process of countries basically coming together. If you look at the histories of most countries, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, countries, pieces of land that are now countries were not countries, of course. I mean, take my country, England, 2,000 years ago, it was a collection of tribes living all over the country. So it wasn't a country called England, it was these peoples and these peoples and these peoples. And gradually over time, these peoples came together. They fought, they conquered, they won, they lost, they interbred, and these tribes slowly expanded. Until by the time the Romans left in about 450 AD, you have much larger tribes. England is divided into maybe five or six different areas, maybe a bit more, seven or eight. And then the Danes come in, and once the Danes start interbreeding, the tribes, these little areas gradually get bigger. And by about 900, we have basically England, the central England, which is now one country. And then, of course, it continues. It takes, conquers Ireland and Wales and Scotland and makes the country that is now England. Other countries have done the same. America, Japan, all these countries, small tribes have slowly come together and made larger and larger groups until they have made these countries that are generally defined by physical boundaries. Japan, of course, is defined by the sea around it. It's an island. Although, of course, countries in Africa are defined by European, mostly English-made boundaries. But even so, countries are now pretty much decided. But this process will continue. Countries that are now separate will slowly come together. They will amalgamate. They will join together. Countries will slowly get larger and larger. So now Asia is broken up into, 25 countries. Those countries will slowly come together. And at one point, Asia might be one block with no country distinctions. So this process of globalization, it's not because of Starbucks. It's an ongoing process that's happened for thousands and thousands of years and will continue to happen for thousands and thousands and years of years. And when we finally discover life on other planets, of course, it's then not going to be England, France, and Spain. It's going to be Earth versus whatever this other planet's called. Or if we send people to colonize a planet, say, if we put a life on Mars, then it's going to be Earth and Mars. So this is a process that is going to keep going. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about globalization. Sorry. So Starbucks does, of course, have some negative points. If a Starbucks moves into your neighborhood, it is most likely going to shut down the smaller coffee shops. That is, of course, because of its purchasing power. Starbucks has the ability to lower its prices and continue to make a profit or continue to function as a business, where, of course, a local coffee shop, a ma and pa coffee shop, possibly can't do. Although some countries like Australia, they were very against Starbucks and they focused on the smaller coffee shops and they pushed Starbucks almost out of the country. There are only two or three Starbucks in Australia, I believe. But so generally, Starbucks will shut down the competition. Although, of course, Starbucks isn't as bad as some other companies. I mean, people don't talk about this, but Amazon is shutting down companies, businesses left, right, and center. Starbucks only shuts down coffee shops. Amazon shuts down whole industries. Amazon is basically shutting down the retail industry. People don't really talk about that though. So Starbucks does have some negative points, of course. However, on the plus side, Starbucks is trying to recycle. They use millions of coffee cups every day, billions throughout the year, and they are trying to use recycled paper, recycled card. So they're trying to do something. They're using fair trade coffee. They're trying to be fair to the farmers, the coffee producers. They're trying to use less water. Generally, if you go to a Starbucks, there's a tap left running with water. They're trying to stop that, use less water. They're trying to pay their staff more. Starbucks has bonuses and insurance policies and generally pays its staff higher than the average wage. And Starbucks are trying to donate food, food that's left over at the end of the day. Rather than throwing it away, they donate it to food banks. So Starbucks are trying to do some good things. So is Starbucks good or bad? Can we judge? I don't know. I guess it comes down to, if we didn't want Starbucks, it wouldn't exist. The fact that we buy their coffee means they can expand into other countries. If we didn't want it, like in Australia, it wouldn't exist. So is Starbucks good or bad? I don't think you can say that. We want Starbucks, therefore it exists. Speaking of which, I wouldn't mind a coffee. Anyway, thanks for listening. Don't forget, go to my site and you can see the script for this talk, download the MP3 and try some listening questions. Remember, if you speak, listen, read and write, your English is going to improve. Anyway, thanks for listening. This was interesting and fun. I'll see you next time. Bye.